They're all in behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Welcome to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kelly Bell. And we are joined by the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association Executive Director, Renee Mancino. Hey, Renee.
Hello. How are you, ladies? Michelle, Kelly, hope everyone's well.
I'm ready for spring and some harness racing, I can tell you that.
And I'm ready for some horsing around.
That's
excellent.
Right.
I'm always ready for horsing around.
Speaking of, you guys, the OHHA has taken on a new project.
That is correct, Michelle. We took on, as being the primary publisher and procurer of information for the 65 racing county fairs in Ohio. And that's the Huff's Guide, the publication that's been around for a significantly long time. I know Horsemen and Fair World was in business for 144 years. It was the preeminent print publication guide for harness racing forever. And this was one of the publications that they had. And, you know, unfortunately they're migrating to a total digital environment, and we took over the print publication on the Huff's Guide.
So what kind of things do people find in this? How often does it come out?
It comes out once a year. And that's one of the reasons that they had difficulty with the publication was, you know, what happened with COVID last year. Yeah. It comes out once a year, generally January into February, all of the information is compiled and it's actually printed typically in early March, middle of March. So they kind of got caught last year during COVID with the final print version that by the time we hit the fairs in June, had absolutely nothing in it that could be of use on racing schedules and, you know, things that were scheduled in advance. Well, in some cases, you know, more than a year in advance in November 2019. And we sort of reverted from that point, we sort of reverted into the position of having to keep everything updated for each fair as we went throughout the fair season. So what the Huff's Guide is basically the Bible for anyone that's racing at a county fair in the state of Ohio. And it has absolutely everything you need to know about racing a horse at any county fair. And we had West Virginia there as well, but I guess this year West Virginia is not doing any harness racing. Oh. And that's another COVID casualty. But for the most part, you know, if you don't have that information, you're going to have a difficult time, a very, very difficult time in functioning at the 65 county fairs.
Well, I think this is just another reason why the OHHA is so important to everyone involved in harness racing. And I just want to say we all appreciate everything that you do to grow the sport and keep it healthy. Personally, you know, my family was in the newspaper publishing business, and I know that publishing and distribution can be quite a challenge. And to just take that on and have to figure out all the ins and outs of that to keep this going is quite an effort on your part. How's it going? Is it running pretty smoothly? Do you have your distribution channels figured out?
So we actually purchased the publishing and IP rights and everything. So, you know, Kathy Parker and the crew at Horsemen and Fair World were fantastic, and they gave us everything that we needed. And we're actually still using Lynn, who's the one that's basically done the publication side prep, if you will. So we're using her to actually do it this year just for the sake of continuity. And you're correct. You're very correct. And, you know, I do want to thank you too, Kelly, for your kind words in regards to how much work things are, because a lot of people don't understand how much work it is. You being in publishing do, but we're going to change some things on it, you know, hopefully for the better. And again, due to COVID, you know, we don't want to have a circumstance going forward where we have a guide that's printed that's going to be useless and of no use to anybody. So we're going to do it digitally in addition to print. Yeah. So in the future, if something happens that basically renders the schedules useless in the printed version, Well, you can access the actual pages from an online database. So we're working on integrating it into what is essentially our online database. And going forward, people shouldn't see much change in the information. They'll actually have more information, I think, and it'll be organized in a way that it's going to be uniform from fair to fair as well. We've had the other three racing circuits in Ohio provide us with input on the forms and what we're trying to accomplish going forward. And they've been absolutely fantastic in supporting everything that we're kind of proposing. Lisa Schwartz with the Ohio Colt Racing Association and Woody Woolen with the Home Talent Colt Racing Association, as well as Rod Newhart with the Southern Valley Colt Racing Association, they've provided a lot of valuable input to help us try and not just continue on with what this legacy was, but also improve on it. So
how can people get it now? Where do they sign up?
So if someone wants to purchase a Huff's Guide, all they have to do is either call our office or talk to one of our remote track reps or submit. There's a form that we've been circulating on our social media outlets that you know, they can handwrite it in if they want and just get it back to the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association in one of, you know, the any of the ways that they possibly can, you know, email at info@ohha.com. You can fax it if you want to our office. You can call. We take credit card orders. I don't think they took credit card orders in the past for it. But yeah, that's essentially what, you know, someone needs to do to get it. It's pretty straightforward.
I'm glad that you guys have a good distribution channel, and I'm glad that we can share this information and get it out there for you, because every harness racing person needs a good Bible, and that's what the Huff Guide is.
Well, let's take a break here, and when we come back, Renee will talk to you about some other things going on this spring and summer.
Sounds good.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available, or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Hey, this is Kelly Bell, and I'm here with my partner, Michelle Gatchel. We are horsing around today with none other than Renee Mancino of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Lots of great stuff going on. Spring is coming. Harness racing is getting in gear for the season. Tell us, Renee, what is going to be happening at the county fairs that fans can come and be a part of this year?
Well, actually, some super exciting things for us. You know, last year with the COVID protocols and no spectators at the race at the, well, fairground locations, we went digital. So we had live streaming broadcasts from the county fairs. We were able to do 81 live fair dates last year. And this year for 2021, we have production planned for all 65 fairs that race. And that's going to be 126 live fair racing days. So super exciting stuff that will start in June and continue on through the third week in October.
Now, I have to ask a follow-up question on this. Last year, because of COVID, the OHHA got very creative and they sent video crews out to a lot of the fairgrounds and were able to, simulcast or podcast is the word, that you were able to show us the races so that even though we were stuck at home, we were able to watch on our TVs. Are you going to continue to do that? And is that, how many fairs will that cover if you do?
Actually, yes, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to continue all digital, and that is 65 fairs and 126 live fair racing days in 2021.
Oh, so you, I'm sorry, I misunderstood your answer. I didn't realize that you were saying that you were actually sending camera crews to all those events. I knew you were having them, but so we're going to be able to watch all of these races on video from our homes?
Yes, you are. In 2020, we did 81 live dates. We've got three crews that will be doing the 65 racing fairs and the 126 live fair days of racing.
And if people want to watch this, they're going to go to the OHHA Facebook page or your YouTube feed. Is that the two best places to see it?
Last year, we have plans to do the same thing this year. Last year, we broadcast it out through Facebook Live, through YouTube Live, through OhioHarnessRacing.com, and through OHHA.com. So we had four separate places that you could basically log on and real-time live stream view the harness racing that was being conducted that day. And we also, if you go to OHHA.com/fairs, we also publish every day the schedule for the week. And also we provide the past performances on what we call the daily racing form for that scheduled day of racing at the county fairs. And throughout the season, obviously those change every day. There are some days when you get into July and August where we'll have five different locations live streaming in one day. We're hoping we have an even better response than we did in 2020. And in 2020, we reached over 947,000 people.
Wow, that's a great number. I heard some numbers from Roger Houston, who was tracking that last year, that were very impressive, but these new numbers are, you know, kind of eye-popping.
Yeah, almost, we were super happy. Almost a million people viewed, that we've reached, and that was only from May to October. We had people from 35 states and 11 countries in that viewership.
That's amazing. You know, I feel so excited when I hear this, because I feel like harness racing is becoming more vibrant and healthier and is attracting lots of new fans. People who maybe didn't know about it are discovering what a really fun family activity this is. And I just love seeing it grow.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I think everyone that works at the association gets credit for that. You know, not just my employees and those that work with us, but also our directors. And they've just all worked very hard to be ambassadors for harness racing. And we most certainly are the everyman sport, you know, when you compare it to thoroughbred racing. I mean, they're distinctly different sort of endeavors. You know, very, very few people can walk out to a thoroughbred, you know, racetrack or a thoroughbred farm and say, you know what, I want to start and be a standard, you know, a thoroughbred jockey. You know, anyone can do it on our side of the fence. Come on out. We have camps for kids, and you know, we try and do whatever we possibly can to introduce people to harness racing, because it's an everyman sport.
I think we got to get Michelle in the Saki. I'm going to contact Chris Page and out there at Delaware and see if he's going to let her drive a little bit, because it's a lot of fun.
Well, for sure. Chris Page, or you can contact Brian Brown. He'll be more than happy to let you jog any one of his usually 70 plus horses.
You hear that, Michelle?
Yoo-hoo! I got 70 horses to try out. All right.
Let's go drive.
Hey, Renee. Give us an update on the current state of harness racing, and specifically, let's talk about Miami Valley.
So, you know, we were very fortunate in Ohio. I mean, outside of the second quarter in 2020, which was absolutely devastating to everyone, you know, we've been very conservative throughout the state of Ohio in the last 6 years that I've been on board, and we're able to really continue with the program at the same level that it was. And that would include Miami Valley Gaming. You know, Miami Valley Gaming's meet last year was the meet that got interrupted by COVID. We lost a significant portion of that live meet. And the Miami Valley Gaming people and management were absolutely fantastic about coming into 2021. They were all energized, ready to race. We've had a couple of days this year at Miami Valley where we had to cancel due to our extreme weather. We've already made those days up. So their commitment to the racing product has remained pretty consistent. And we're very, very happy about the way the meet is going at Miami Valley. We've had enough forces in the box for probably two different racetracks to run a full card of racing. You know, what we call an overfull race box, which is where you would enter your horse to race. So, you know, we've been racing 14-day races, 5 days a week since January 6th. And we're not done at Miami Valley until May 5th. So just, you know, a great place to race. And then we move transition over on the Southern Circuit, as we call it, to El Dorado Scioto Downs on May 6th to continue the meet for the summer. And then they'll finish up the racing at El Dorado Jug Week this year. They usually finish a little earlier, and then we pick back up with Dayton Raceway, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway, from that point until the 31st of December. So racing is going forward. We're still under the same COVID restrictions as everyone else in the state in, you know, entertainment venues and outdoor activities. You know, we're very hopeful that with the new formula the governor put into place, that the restrictions will all be removed statewide by May 1st. So fingers crossed that we can stay under our numbers of, you know, 800 COVID cases a day, and the hospitalization numbers continue to trend and continue to stay lower. You know, we're very optimistic that the fairs will be full go with a full fair, not just a junior fair in harness racing. So we're super excited about that. The fairs need a full go because their revenue was so impacted, you know, in a negative way without being able to offer, you know, the opportunity for vendors to come in and rides and concessions and all that. So we are just looking forward. We're forward looking and very, very optimistic on what's going to happen in 2021.
Well, I know everybody is really looking forward to getting outside with their families, you know, having some social activities, going out to the fairs or going to El Dorado, taking the family to sit outside, watch the horses, eat a hot dog. A very inexpensive way to have a great evening of family fun. I can't wait to get out there. I have to ask you one more question, though. This is very important. You said that you're going to finish up your racing season at El Dorado on Jug Week or right before Jug Week?
Actually, it's on Jug Week. Essentially, we end racing on the Saturday before Jug Week starts on Sunday. So we transition right over from El Dorado to the Jug.
All right. So this could be very important. I'm an amateur, as you know, but you usually do the Ohio Sire Stakes Championships at the end of the season at El Dorado. And a lot of those horses are eligible for some of the big races in Delaware. Delaware is special because that's where we see the best of the best all week long. So is that crunching of the time going to affect which horses sign up to be in some of the races at Delaware because maybe they just raced at El Dorado and need time to rest before they go back on the track?
Well, typically with standardbreds, as you all know, Kelly, they race once every 7 to 10 days. You know, they're very sturdy. They're very amenable to their, you know, workload on a consistent basis. Yeah. The Super Night Finals that you're talking about are what are our season long top tier stakes races. And they are $300,000 races. There are 8 of them. So we go for over $2 million on that single day. That event rotates between El Dorado Scioto Downs and MGM Northfield and Hollywood Gaming at Dayton. This year, it's at MGM Northfield. It happens to be on September 5th. We call that the Super Night Finals. So okay. Yeah, when we get to the Little Brown Jug Week, which starts the 19th of September, they've had plenty of time.
Okay,
So,
that's what I wanted to hear. Fresh and ready
yes.
to go.
We gear all of our stakes programs around making sure that we have those top tier stakes race horses at Delaware for that week. So yeah, believe me, everybody's pulling the wagon in the same direction on that with Delaware.
That's just another example of all the heavy lifting that you guys do for harness racing. You know, congrats once again, OHHA. You guys are killing it.
Well, we work hard. That's what we say. Right? work hard, and you know, we do everything that we can possibly do. Like I said, I've 37 directors on my board, and you know, a mighty staff of basically 12 that get this all out there and put it all together. So, you know, it is them that I throw the credit to without even a little doubt. So
thank you so much for joining us and updating us on all the things that everybody can benefit from at the OHHA this year.
Well, thank you, Michelle and Kelly again. And I always love being on your show. Love you ladies, love horsing around. Absolutely. That's probably going to have to be some kind of a, consistent and constant, you know, we all love horsing around, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's right. There is nothing better than horsing around, especially with good people like Renee Mancino of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association.
We'll be right back, and we're going to give you a bunch of baby announcements when we come back.
Ooh, baby announcements.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I am here with Kelly Bell. And Kelly, gosh, spring has sprung. The weather is starting to show some sun, and babies are in the air.
Oh, yes. Like they say in Bambi, all the animals are Twitterpating. We've got several folks we want to pass out some congratulations to for their new foals. Jan Snyder says that Midland Acres has a colt by Yankee Cruiser out of Native Angel. That baby was just born this week. We also have Susie Tell and Dan Tell reporting that their million-dollar performer, Safe from Terror, had a colt this morning from Sweet Lou. And finally, Sugar Valley Farm, right here in Delaware, Ohio, reports that the first colt of the year for them by Lather Up out of Tea Time has arrived. Congratulations to all the proud parents.
Yeah, and we can be godparents and come visit. Just let us know.
Absolutely, yes, we'll bring gifts.
A bag of carrots and everything.
Yeah, the whole deal. Sugar cubes in the pockets, you know. Get my nails done so I can scratch them real good on their withers.
You know, it was cute on Facebook. I saw some guy say for Lather Up and Tea Time that they should call it Tea Up, which is so cute.
Oh my gosh. That's perfect. It's like a golfer horse. Crossover fans, whole new fan base for the sport. Yep.
Kelly, thanks so much for those baby announcements. In other news, the horse industry lost one of its greats from the hunter world. Kenny Wheeler passed away at the age of 92 on March 3rd. He may have won every honor bestowed a hunter, rider, or trainer, but he said it was the daily training that made him happiest. He was known as a classic gentleman. His farm, Sismont Manor, was in Virginia with the backdrop of the Blue Ridge Mountains. With more than 60 years in the business,
Wheeler set the standard for hunters. His most famous horse is Gilda, was champion 5 times at the prestigious Devon Horse Show and all of the major shows from the Madison Square Gardens to Del Mar. She was the only horse he would never sell, and she's buried at his beloved farm. It is said he will be remembered for his patience, dignity, and kind words. A celebration of his life for all of his family and friends is being planned for later in the year. They're asking that you consider a donation in his name to the Virginia Horse Center Foundation. His legacy will live on through the people and horses he has touched. Rest in peace, Kenny Wheeler, 1928 to 2021. A life well lived with horses.